Deus me acolhi. O vieni sa nictoni. Είναι ο καημός μου μια φωτιά που όσο φύσας φουντώνει.
You're listening to WNTN 1550 AM and WNTN.com. Boston's hub for international radio and specialty programs.
11 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday morning here in Boston. Again, good morning, WNTN 1550 AM radio on our streaming signal around the globe on our websites, GrecianEchoes.com and WNTN.com. I'm your host, Teddy Dimitriadis, and joining us for our weekly market update is Manny Frangidakis and Stamatis Astra. Gentlemen, good morning. Και καλημέρα σας.
Καλημέρα, good morning.
Καλημέρα, καλημέρα. Manny, good morning. How are you? I think, όπως λέμε και στην Ελλάδα, κρέμονται από τα χυλάκια του Powell. Everybody's waiting what he's going to... I think he's testifying right now, right?
Look, it's going to be a nothing burger. I mean, the Fed, the rhetoric of the Fed hasn't changed in years, let alone since Powell took over. So it's going to be same old, same old. They're going to talk about, inflation not being a threat. They're going to talk about letting the economy run hotter than previously expected. And their mandate is really went from a dual mandate to pretty much a single mandate now, which is, focusing on unemployment first and foremost. Now, the testimony... Will GameStop be brought up? Will the idea of bubbles created and assets due to Fed put? They're just going to derail any conversation from that and say that they're focused on going back to full employment in the United States as fast as possible. So I don't think, no surprises from the Fed now nor anytime soon in the future.
I guess that's a good thing. I mean, you don't want surprises, right? I guess that's it's better for the market, for the investors. It's better to know what the plan is.
Yeah, I do, but I don't think they have a plan. That's the problem. I think it's a very serious issue. I think the Fed has put themselves in the utmost of corners, and they have no way getting out. Think of a boxer being shelled into a corner. The market is just throwing them haymakers, and they have no way of getting out, because if they even whisper the words of taper, the market will drop significantly. So they either have two choices. They have to not care about the stock market and asset prices and focus on their actual mandate and do what's best for the economy and not the stock market. Or if they're going to be focused on the stock market, it's going to be incredibly difficult to ever raise rates in any environment.
That would be difficult. What about the employment? Still, it looks like the numbers are tough, meaning the long-term unemployed. Still, aggregate, it's very high. I think it's still 10 million unemployed. Everybody expects hotels and restaurants to start getting back into business, but things are not super good there.
No, they're not, and I think that's the other side of the sword. This quote-unquote recovery that we've experienced has been induced via liquidity, but we're not having a legitimate economic recovery because the jobs aren't coming back, and the jobs that we're gaining aren't the correct jobs that, is best for our economy. So I think the unemployment number is going to unfortunately remain high for quite some time, even post-COVID. I think that the idea of small businesses being gutted is not priced into markets right now. And from what I know to be true, based off of conversations with restaurateurs that, used to employ 200-plus people, people in the hospitality space, they're not going to be able to hire as quickly as possible, and it's going to take a lot for them to get their businesses up and running. So a particular conversation I had with one gentleman is, it took X amount of years to build up 8 to 10 restaurants. He goes, how are you possibly able to do that in a short period of time? Theoretically, you can get one up and running at one particular time by getting the kitchen and the staff together. This is going to be a slow play to get, back to full employment. I think it's going to take a couple of years. It's not going to be, we saved the market with liquidity and all of a sudden we're going to keep charging ahead. What we see in sentiment is that companies are actually not investing in themselves right now. They're not investing in R&D, and they're not investing in their core people because they're very unsure about the future. So that tells me, even from a capital raise standpoint, it's not going to create jobs, at least not right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a positive thing. The other issue I wanted to say and to raise is, you know, you can say, I told you so, guys, and that you can get the full credit. As you said, you told us last week that Tesla will trade like the Bitcoin, and it absolutely did. When Bitcoin went down yesterday, Tesla went down. So exactly what you just said to us last week, it came to be reality the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's going to be a little concerning, because what most people realize is, with the move in Tesla over the last year or two and the inclusion of the S&P 500, pretty much everyone that has some kind of stock market allocation has exposure to Tesla. So it could be a little gut-wrenching, and I think that people need to take a step back and say, do I want my equity position to trade like a blockchain cryptocurrency? Frankly, I live in this world, and I couldn't stomach that volatility, so I'd be shocked if many people were be able to. But look, at the same time, I think the market's also in the process of a topping point. I think we're seeing it happen right now. Now, look, we're only 5 days away from the all-time high, but we're seeing some serious weakness right now this morning and over the last couple of days. And what's alluding to me is that the bond market here is starting to crack, and yields are really starting to explode higher. And that's telling the market that, you know, inflation actually is a threat. And that's where I think the Fed is even worse off, because they don't have to do anything. The bond market will make them do it. The bond market will raise rates automatically. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I do think that, you know, inflation and the idea of it is starting to crack into the market. And I think there could be some headwinds ahead because of it. Now, I think that topping process probably plays out slow. But I think, you know, we probably get the next leg up and after this next stimulus package. But I think that could be a buy the rumor, sell the news. And that could be your topping point right there.
Do you think, speaking of the package, do you think it's going to go for the full Monty, the full amount? You think they're going to? I heard yesterday there was $1 trillion worth of unspent funds from round one. So they're going to throw another two at this? I mean,
no, they just keep recycling dollars. I mean, the original package, we had like $400 million of reused dollars.
Yeah.
But look, they definitely get a package done, but it's the same key issues that they've been arguing about since March. Mm-hmm. So, like, we haven't been able to move the needle. Something will get done. I just don't know if it's what's going to be best for the economy and for the state. We'll see. But I think they probably get somewhere closer to that $1 trillion number. It's just really going to be what are the mandates in the law that, you know, dictates where those dollars go. But I do think that they get something off. I think they need to. And, you know, I would be shocked if it doesn't occur. Frankly, one of the best things that could be, you know, from a stock market perspective, could be, you know, your best thing might be a no deal. But I think they do get a deal done.
Yeah. One of the things that, and I'm curious to get both of your opinions on this, we've heard that dismissing $50,000 worth of college debt potentially could be something, a part of this package. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I'm curious about both of your opinions on something like that.
Go ahead, Manny.
Manny, you go first.
Yeah, I think that's like, you know, there's so many different types, you know, parts to that question, from a psychological perspective, from a market perspective, from a cost-efficient perspective. I think it's going to be really hard for them to get something passed, but I do think that there is better products that we can use, including the one that just started this year. So what companies can do now, and it's beneficial from both sides, is a company can now give $5,200 per employee annually toward their student loans. It's not earned income to the employee, so they get $5,200 that is just going towards their student loan. They don't have to claim anything in taxes because it's not coming to them as income, and it's a tax write-off for the organization. Now, that rule has been put in place until at least 2025, but this administration could make it permanent, and we do believe that they will do it. So I think that college relief and loan help is coming, but we're going to structure it in a different way that it's not like just true socialism and writing off of debt. So I think that, you know, we are going to have benefits that do come, because obviously what we know to be true is that student loans is a real hindrance on millennials and people that are at that transition stage of their lives that are looking to start a family, that are looking to buy their first home. Because some of the interest rates on these loans are up to like 18 to 20%. I mean, it's hard to crawl out of that. So I think that we will get assistance. I don't know if it's going to be $50,000 of, you know, debt forgiveness, but I think that, you know, we're moving in the right direction and we're trying to be creative on how we can benefit companies and individuals and, you know, push people ahead and further into middle-class territory and higher.
Biden did say that $50,000 will never happen. So it could be a very small amount that it would be loan forgiveness. But the loan forgiveness is the wrong signal. It is the wrong policy. At the end of the day, it only helps people that they have loans already. It doesn't help the new generation. It also, you know, in some situation, all these people, they knew where they were signing up. They knew that they were taking a loan. It doesn't help the aggregate. I think, as Manny said, there's going to be some sort of college relief, but it's going to be on an incentive point of view, like Manny said.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think that, you know, the bigger problem here is, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with Samanti said that, you know, everyone knew what they were signing on for. No one got tricked into going to college. At the same time, I think that, you know, they will put something together to address this. Now, more importantly, where I think that we go forward is, do you have some kind of federal government regulation of universities? Because obviously what we know to be true is that the cost of tuition and cost of going to college and university has just exploded beyond belief over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years. So do at some point you come in and say, you know, enough is enough? Or do they remain private and unregulated? It'll be interesting to see. I think that's what they need to address. Not, you know, can we give loan, you know, forgiveness?
Yeah, because you go to student loan forgiveness, then, you know, what about medical loan forgiveness? And
right, and that, box, that might be more important. Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
why did the person that signed on for college get that versus the person who had a surgery that they didn't choose or a medical condition that they didn't choose, but they're stuck with that debt? I don't know.
And then you got the sacred cow of the universities that, you know, nobody really wants to touch. All the way from, you know, the tax-exempt status. Trump did tax the endowments, which, you know, it makes some sense. I don't think it was a preposterous idea to tax the endowment after, you know, I think it was a fair way to tax some of the wealth that they create. But universities, and I'm not talking to just the Ivy Leagues, you know, universities are a sacred cow. Every time we're talking about healthcare costs, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the rising cost of drugs and if that's appropriate and why we pay so much for drugs. And the drug companies, they say, listen, we got to invest the billions and years in research, and that's the number. You know, universities is a different market. In a lot of situations, they are, you know, if not a monopoly, it's oligopoly. So I don't know if that discussion will ever open, but it is... it is something we should think about.
I agree. Well said.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I get a sense this last week or so that, you know, with the exception of yesterday getting the horrifying news of, you know, such a large number of Americans losing their life, but I'm also getting a sense of things are starting to turn around. The weather will get a little bit better. The numbers are, from the CDC, seem to be getting better. You know, let's keep the faith up and move forward. I do get that sense of, I don't know, I feel a little bit better maybe than last week. How about you guys? What's your general consensus?
It's not just the faith, it's the data. The data is very, very good. And I can tell you, you know, I have the inside information from my wife, who is on the front lines, and they do see the people who come in, they do see the data, and they have been very, very pleasantly surprised in the month of February. they believe that we turn the corner because in December, obviously, was the Christmas vacations and all that, and that was a problem in January. But it looks like that there's a couple of factors. One has to do with the vaccinations. The other is that there's a lot of people in the U.S. that got sick. And so there's a lot of debate right now with epidemiologists how fast we're going to get into the herd immunity aspect. And a lot of people are saying it could happen much, much faster. And what we are seeing right now, the decline of cases is the beginning of the herd immunity. We need more data, but that's what they are. That's the good news. The only thing that worries them is the variances. They believe that the vaccines are relatively effective to the variances. And they believe that it's going to be like the flu. Like every year we take a flu shot. It's going to be the same situation here. We got to be careful. Every year the flu, I think, kills between 30 and 50,000 people in the United States. It could be a similar situation with COVID. But there's no question that scientifically they believe the combination of the social distancing, the hand washing, the carefulness of the people, we wipe everything down before we touch it, after we touch it, and the vaccine, it all is working.
Oh, that's good news. Good news.
I agree. Well said. Couldn't say anything better myself. That was going to be my my ending point or good news for the week, I guess, as we've been doing it. But, you know, the idea that could you have herd immunity take place sometime in the spring, early summer, I think that's the best possible outcome.
Well, you know, 1st and 10, let's keep marching to that finish line. How do you like that for a close? Manny, you are all well. Hola, Kalamanoli. I miss you, my friend. I miss seeing you face to face.
I miss you too.
I miss having you guys come into the studio. But
you know what? Why don't we try to do a show in person either next week or the following week?
I'm here every day.
I'll do it.
I'll wear my mask.
Yeah. Maybe even put me in a different studio if you want.
That's it. Then we'll put you downstairs. How's that? You call in from downstairs.
Beautiful.
Manny Stamati, have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday afternoon, and thank you. Nastikala. Bye-bye.
That's it.
Manny Frangidakis, Stamati Sastra, a rundown of this week's market.